According to Damaris Carbaugh, when you get to know the Lord as your shepherd, you'll start to want him more and more.
The Lord is my shepherd, and I don't want anything else. I just want to learn how to be in the secret of his presence.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth, author of A Place of Quiet Rest, for Wednesday, April 26th, 2017.
I don't know about you, but in the busyness and craziness of life, I'm so glad that God invites us to experience true peace. My friend Damaris Carbaugh is going to help us find the source of that peace today as she walks us through Psalm 23. Damaris is a singer and a Bible teacher, and she'll be joining us this September 29 and 30 at Revive 17. The theme of this conference is Women Mentoring Women. And speakers like Damaris are going to be walking us through Titus 2 to help us see how to live out the beauty of the gospel together. You can still get in on the early registration discount for a few more days. Early registration ends May 1st. To get more details on Revive 17, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, I'm excited to let you get to know one of the Revive 17 speakers better. So here's Damaris Carbaugh giving us fresh insight into a familiar passage.
The 23rd Psalm, there's different opinions, as to when it was written, but everyone agrees that the 23rd Psalm was not written by young David. This was not young David. This was already a David that had lived. I believe it was a David that was already in those years of almost becoming the king of Israel. Not quite there, but running for many years, running from Saul. And God had delivered him time after time after time. And he has a moment where he remembers his youth. He remembers his youth and what he did. David took care of sheep. You and I are sheep. We are his sheep. Aren't you glad? Do you know what sheep are? Dumb. I don't mean to insult you. It's just the truth. The Bible says to say everything in truth with love. So with love, I tell you, you're dumb. I'm dumb. We're dumb. You will never find sheep in the circus. Ever. They're not jumping through hoops. They're not riding the elephants. I mean, think about all the other animals that do it. The chimpanzees, the little chihuahuas, the little whatever. Poodles. It's the truth. Birds. Elephants that go like this. Bears that do tricks. Not sheep. Not sheep. They're not very bright. Well, I went to Israel. I've been to Israel 3 times. I saw sheep. They're dirty. I was so kind of enamored with sheep because, you know, we're the sheep of his pastures and sheep and sheep. And before you think that I'm just insulting you, because I'm not. I'm not really insulting because I'm one of those too. I'm a lamb too. Just remember that our Savior became the precious Lamb of God. Condescended and became like us. He knows how we are. And he became the Lamb of God. And remember that in Revelation, there is a scripture that says that in the end, God will separate the sheep from the... That's right, goats. So when you do a little study on goats, don't be a goat. Goats are sneaky little things. Let me just tell you something. They cannot be. They have learned how to actually open up a gate and get out. And they do not like to be led. Whereas sheep do. Sheep, as a matter of fact, that's all they know how to do. Oh, we're going that way? Okay, let's go. Somebody's leading them, they'll go off a precipice. That's why sheep need a shepherd. And David remembers that. David remembers when he took care of the sheep. That was not a high-class job. Shepherds were despised. Shepherds were looked down upon. And yet David loved the sheep. And aren't you glad that he's able to write a psalm like this? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Aren't you glad that God doesn't waste anything you've ever learned in your life? Whether good or bad, he doesn't waste it. He works all things for good. That's why he's God. Oh my goodness. I could not do that. And you can't do that. But God doesn't waste what David was learning even while he was being a shepherd. I really don't think that while David was taking care of sheep, he was clueless about where God was going to take him. Clueless until maybe that day when Samuel anointed him. But up to that point, all he did was take care of them. And guess what? He took good care of them. So he understands what a shepherd is supposed to be like. And when he thinks one day, he goes, "Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Because when I was a shepherd, there wasn't a thing those precious little things needed that I didn't give them. Whatever they needed, I gave them. If they needed nourishment, I took them to green pastures. If they needed to drink, I took them to waters. So David knew where to take them to drink. He makes me lie down. He made those sheep. Oh, another thing, because I've studied this a little bit. It's so cute. He says, he doesn't say, "I just took them there and they laid down." He makes them lie down. Do you know why? Check this out. This is, I think, so cute. They're hyper. They're a little hyper. And what, not that they move so fast. They're just like restless. They're just like... And so the shepherd just kind of goes, "No, no, now, come on, lay down." And you know what? Many of us, we're hyper. And I don't mean physically hyper. We're hyper in here. When the Lord is saying, "Shh, I want to speak to you," we're just going. I remember one time our pastor, my pastor is my brother-in-law, and he is a godly man. He was speaking. And Louis... I mean, I call him Pastor Rivera, but he's Louis because I've known him for so many years. Louis was speaking, and Louis is slow in his delivery, and but he's precious. And he was speaking about something, and as he was saying it, I remember sitting there going, "Oh, Louis, if I could only say it. If you would only ask me right now, I could explain this better than you're doing it right now." I'm serious. So some of you, I hate to disappoint you, but that's how I really am. So I'm sitting there going, "Oh, Louis, if I could only, give me the mic. If I wrote a book, that's what I'm going to call it. Give me the mic. I'll tell you more about my testimony tomorrow, but that's me. Give me the mic. So I'm going, "Oh, Louis, give me the mic. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord, like only the Lord can do it, interrupted me and just kind of said, "Damaris, honey, would you be quiet? Because you're missing something right now." When I finally looked around, God's presence had come into the room. A move of God had happened that I almost missed. And he says, "You think that you know nothing. You think you can say it better. I am speaking through him even now. Be quiet." He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's not just poetic. Let me just tell you something. Sheep will eat anything. Amazing. They'll eat areas that are not nourishing at all. It's dry and it's dead. So David knew, no, I got to get them to new grass, green grass, where there'll be nourishment. And the Lord says to us, "Calm down. I need to speak to you. He wants some of us to just quiet down. We're hyper little lambs. Hyper little lambs. And he wants to lead us beside quiet waters. You know that our Jesus, speaking to the woman at the well, offered her living water. And Jesus describes himself as someone who will give you living water. If you're thirsty, you can drink. He offers living water. But it says there that he leads me beside quiet waters. Jesus Christ is living water, but Jesus Christ is also the Prince of Peace. So I see Jesus in every portion of that scripture right there. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And if you have Jesus, you don't really need anything else. I shall not want. David means by that, there's nothing I lack. If the Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack anything. I have everything I need. I have provision. I have protection. I have guidance. I have comfort. I have peace. I have victory. I have everything I need if the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need for anything else if the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What I would like to suggest tonight is that, oh, that we would want him. You know what I did for years? What the Israelites did. And this is what Jesus said about the Israelites. And this is what God said about the Israelites, even in the Old Testament. And Jesus repeated it. But this is what he said. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is what? Far, far. And let me just tell you something. When those people honored God with their lips, I don't really think, listen to me, I don't really think they were saying, the Lord is great, the Lord is awesome, the Lord is wonderful, his love endures forever. Our God, the Lord, is one. You shall love the Lord. I don't believe that when they quoted those verses, when they quoted scripture, or when the Levites would quote it, when I don't believe that when they said those things, they were in their minds going, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. No, 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 no. I really believe they did honor him with their lips. Like many of us do in a service. We honor God with our lips. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I truly believe they honored him with his lips, but then the Lord only is the one who knows our heart. And I cannot tell you how many years my heart was far from the Lord. And I never left the church. You don't have to leave the church for your heart to be far from him. And let me just suggest something else to you. Oh, that we would be satisfied with God. Instead of always striving for what we think we should be striving for, even in the things of God. Oh, that we would be satisfied with God, that we would want him. I didn't want the Lord. I'll tell you one little thing that happened to me in Argentina. This is where God changed my heart. I was in Argentina with Pastor Simbola. And I was pursuing a secular career. But Pastor Simbola asked me, when I go with him on this trip, it was a pastor's conference, and he wanted me to sing in Spanish because I'm fluent in Spanish. bilingual? And I said, absolutely, I'd love to go with you. Listen carefully where I'm going, ladies, because you see, I love the Lord. I went with Pastor Cimbala to this pastor's conference because I grew up in church and I love the Lord. And I knew songs and I knew hymns in Spanish. I'll be glad to go with you. You see, what can possibly be wrong with me? I want to go to sing to these nice men of God and their sweet wives who are very poor. I'm nice. I'm very nice. I'm going on this missions trip. I'll be glad to go. My husband stayed home with the kids. I'll be glad to go. Of course I'll go. I'll go. So I went to Argentina, to Tucumán. That's the name of the city, not Buenos Aires, Tucumán. I go to Argentina. And little did I know that God would meet me there. But let me tell you how and why. God took me to a place where I saw people who loved God like I have never in my life seen people love God. Listen to me, I was raised by a godly mother and a godly father who are still alive and are still godly people. It's not like I hadn't seen people that didn't love, that loved God in my life, but like they loved God? No. Yes, they were extremely poor. For instance, that pastor's conference went 4 or 5 days, and most of the pastor's wives wore the exact same thing every night. And we went in May, and they're the opposite. So that's the beginning of their winter. It's the beginning of our spring. So we went in May, and I don't know what it is. When you leave the United States, people's idea of heat, I don't know where it is. It's wrong. Because they have heaters in the church up high. I want to go, folks, heat rises. You need to put the heat down so that we can feel the heat. So we're sitting in the churches. We were sitting in those churches that month of May in 1988 with our coats on. I took it off just to sing, but when I sat back down, I'm freezing. We're freezing. And little kids running around with their runny noses. And people that just sat in the presence of God and didn't want to go anywhere. And after one service, one of the services that we were there, Pastor Cimbala was asked to come forward because they were going to anoint 4 or 5 couples that were leaving to start churches in other parts of Argentina. So they come, the 5 couples come, and they're all kneeling. And the head of this Christian movement, because it's not a denomination, the head of this precious Christian movement knelt down with the first couple. The first couple. They kneel down. And we kind of stood around them, and we're all laying hands on the first couple. And Pastor Hugo, what's his name? Him and his wife begin to pray for that first couple. Now, like I said, there was 4 or 5, maybe 6 couples. I don't remember. And this is at the end of the service. Pastor Cimbala had already preached. We'd had a worship time. We're just, now we were going to have a praying for them and just anointing them. And anyway, and we're in Tucumán. By the way, Tucumán, Argentina is not exactly. Remember that commercial? Not exactly. Honey, did you rent a Hertz? Not exactly. It was that commercial. So Tucumán is not exactly. The hotel I stayed at didn't even have a phone in the room. My little bed went like this. And where the shower was kind of a joke. It was clean. It was very, very clean, but it was very, very not exactly. So I say that to say that there was not really, you know, it was not like a, you know, like New York City afterwards, you can go out for coffee. You could, New York never sleeps. And it's just, you find things to do. You can walk around and see Rockefeller Center, the flags and the lights. It's just, wow, you know. Tucumán is not, poor little city. No place to go. That's what I'm saying. So they're praying for the couple, the first couple. And we're all kind of praying. And Pastor Hugo and his wife begin to pray for that couple. Like you would pray if that was your son or your daughter. Listen to me now. And they were going to Siberia and you knew you would never see them again. You would not go, dear God, thank you so much for calling them. Bless them. Amen. Next. That is not how you would pray. I remember that the way the Holy Spirit gave them words to pray. They didn't run out of words. They were praying as the Spirit led them. I mean, things like, Lord, protect them and use them with power and deliver them and be with them and give them an anointing. But words that never ended. Like the Holy Spirit says, He will help you pray. Oh my goodness. And it didn't end. And it was unbelievable. And they weren't, you know how some people repeat themselves? And you almost, if you're praying with them, you want to go, you said that already, honey. Let's end this. We're now going in circles here. They were not going in circles. It was like God praying through them. Oh my goodness. But I'm standing behind them. I have my hand on them. Oh, you would have thought I'm just so spiritual. Because I've got my hand like this. Si, Señor. That's yes, Lord. Si, Señor. Si, Señor. Si, Señor. Si, Señor. And I looked at my watch. And I said, Lord, they've been praying about 8 minutes or 9 minutes or 10 minutes. I'm serious. For couple number one. And I'll see, si, Señor. I'm saying all this while I'm saying, see, si, Señor, they've been praying for this couple, Lord, for almost 10 minutes now. They haven't finished. Si, Señor. We have like 5 more couples to go. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And the Lord said to me, right at that moment, as I'm going, si, Señor, Damaris, you're in Tucumán. You have plans tonight? Are you going somewhere? Just like that, folks. Yeah, and I know it's funny. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying. It is funny because it's like, that's how far, listen to me, that's how far I was. See what I'm telling you? I'm not in drugs. I'm not in prostitution. I'm far. And the Lord said to me that night, look at you. What can be better than to be in my presence? And you don't want to be here. Because God knows it. And he knew that was the truth. And you know what? When God said that to me, such conviction, such godly sorrow, shame also came over me that, I mean, I didn't do it because I knew I would freak people out if I did it, but I wanted to just scream, I repent! In Spanish. But I thought they're going to freak out if I just... I mean, literally, I just wanted to scream at that moment. I repent. I repent. I'm so sorry, God. Help me, God. My heart, I don't know what to do. I mean, I just don't. You're right. You know, you can't... He knows you. You can't argue with him. He knows my heart was so cold and so hard and I didn't want to be there. I just want to, let's just hurry up and go to the restaurant and go eat. And not be here. And he showed me the condition of my heart. You don't even want to be in my presence. Look at you. This is why I love this song, because you see, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But even the last verse, David talks about, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen to me, that word dwell, that's the same word for tabernacle. God made us so that we might dwell with him. And he wanted so badly to dwell with us that even when the Israelites left, he left Egypt, he made and gave instruction for that tabernacle to be built so that he might dwell there with them. So that he might be their God. And be who they talk about. And then Jesus, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It really means Jesus became flesh and tabernacled with us. There could be nothing better than being in the presence of God. And not asking for anything, just enjoying his presence. That's what heaven is going to be. Heaven is not going to be, I want to do this, I want to do that. Heaven is just going to be, oh, God and God alone. He will be our one desire, and our hearts will never tire for God and God alone. Maybe there's somebody here that you just want him more. You just want to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I don't want anything else. I just want to learn how to be in the secret of his presence.
We've been listening to Damaris Carbaugh, and she's going to continue helping us find that kind of intimate relationship with the Lord all this week. And if you're in the middle of a busy day, Damaris has been inviting you to take some time and make sure your number one thing is your relationship with Christ. Damaris was recently with us at Mujer Verdadera 17. That's the True Woman Conference that took place in Mexico just about a month ago. And she'll also be joining us at Revive 17, Women Mentoring Women. At that conference, Damaris will be joining me and a number of other speakers to help us walk through Titus 2. Together, we'll learn how to live out the beauty of the gospel. And we'll see how to encourage and disciple other women in doing the same as well. You can still get in on the early registration discount. That discount ends next Monday, May 1st. You can get more information at reviveourhearts.com or by giving us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959.
Thanks, Nancy. If you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, you are not alone. Damaris Carbaugh's season of depression came to a head one day.
I walked through that valley that day. And I can tell you now that I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear Satan because Jesus is with me.
Hear about that tomorrow here on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth wants to help you find true peace. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.